Jay Lee presents Jack in Jungle. Taking you from the city to the tropics. This is Jay Lee. Breaks
promises. I've been more than my
the sounds of tropical and tribal. Welcome to the tropical sounds of Jay Lee.
Jack and Jungle, you're listening to Jay Lee, and we have the incredible Sasha Brown with us today.
Hey. Thank you for having me on your show.
Very, very welcome. I mean, I always want singers and songwriters, and that's exactly what she is. She's my very first singer-songwriter, because before we had Ben, the sax man, and you are the second guest on Jagged Jungle number 8.
Cool.
So tell me, what have you been up to in the past year? You've had a very good year, haven't you?
Yeah, and it's been great. I've been putting out singles. I put out 4 singles now. So I put out my debut single in July 2017. Mm-hmm. And yeah, everything's kind of gone from there. As you know, I'm also a DJ and I also play sax. Not as well as a sax man, but I also play sax.
She's multi-talented. What other instruments do you play?
No, I don't. I'm desperate to play piano. But
really?
Yeah. That's the 2019 goal.
I feel like nowadays with electronic music, everybody can get by with piano music. You know, as long as you've got the key and you know your key, and obviously because you're a sax player yourself, probably scales isn't an issue.
Yeah, but you know what's funny? Because obviously with piano, it's obviously chords, whereas saxophone, you're playing one note at a time.
That's very true.
Yeah. But yeah. It's on the list for this year, the bucket list.
Is it? Are you going to do a track with sax, or have you done one?
Yeah, it is in my second single, Model Behaviour.
Oh, okay.
Yes, there's a little bit of saxophone just to kind of create that sort of vibe. But it's very much pop tune, but it's just got a bit of sax in it.
Oh, it's
cool.
Gosh.
Yeah.
You'll have to play it. I'd love to hear it.
And also the single Fix of You. It's been in the music and is definitely going to be coming out more.
Okay, so when did you start the journey then, when you were like, I want to be an artist?
Oh, since I was like 4.
Oh, wow.
You know, there's people that are like, oh, yeah, I went to uni and then like I sang this song and everyone's like, you should like do music.
Yeah.
That's not the cool story that I have. It's literally just like since I was 4 years old, I used to get my whole family to watch me and make a stage out of something.
And I did that.
You watch me.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. And then your first single, when did that come out?
So that was my debut single is called Parallel. Yeah. It came out in July 2017.
Wow.
So... Well, I guess just over a year ago.
And how did you find out what type of music? Because it's always, I find that really interesting with artists, like finding your journey and finding the niche. Yeah. I went through so many types of music when I started out. I like did a rock band at one point, and
everyone was in a rock band.
And then a band for Universal, which was very pop, and then I discovered DJing. I mean, what was your journey?
Yeah, so I mean, I've always been very kind of pop music. Mm-hmm. Then I went to Bristol Uni and got really into the whole music, like the dance music scene, because obviously Bristol is like the home of, well, one of the homes of dance music sort of thing. And came back to London. I'd started writing quite a lot in Bristol with a guy called DJ Bungie from a band called Laid Black.
Okay.
And you might not have heard of them, but you'll recognise the song that Ed Sheeran covered, My Eyes Are Red.
Okay.
My eyes are red, I've been burning.
I think so, yeah.
So Ed Sheeran covered that, and he had the studio above one of the biggest clubs called Motion in Bristol.
Yeah.
So I used to just go there, and he used to just give me some studio time every week, and I'd write these awful songs.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
But that's how I really kind of honed my songwriting skills and really got into it.
Did you see Songwriter with Ed Sheeran? And he was like, oh my gosh, some of the stuff I made at the beginning was awful.
What did he?
Yeah, he in the movie Songwriter. It's about him doing his whole album. Yeah, it's amazing.
Okay, that's something I should definitely be watching.
You have to. He's incredible. And he does his whole album on the ship, like on this boat, because his producer that he works with is too scared to fly.
Okay, I did hear about this. Yeah, but I haven't watched it. Okay, right, that's on the list.
On the bucket list.
On the list. Anyway, so I came back to London and I was like, how do get into the music industry, I had kind of no contacts in it. Yeah. Just started going to every networking event, started getting with different producers, writing, finding my sound.
Mm-hmm.
And it just kind of developed, and it's still developing.
Every day.
I mean, I put out 4 singles now, and then I kind of hit a brick wall a few months ago just before Christmas, and I was like, what is the sound, and how am I developing it? And then I kind of had, I like to think, sort of like a little breakthrough where I just kind of stripped everything back. So the new material is just very like raw. I think that lyrically it's a little bit more mature than the past stuff, which obviously it should be. Like, I'm getting old, like, well, I'm a little bit older.
Yeah.
Like, the music should be growing as you're kind of growing.
And the genres, I mean, it's so fast-paced now with Spotify.
Yeah.
I remember I wanted to do trap music at one point, and now trap is just going out the window. And it's like, what's going on? One minute it was hot, and the next minute it's not. It's like, come on. You know, it's we're like chasing something where it could change tomorrow.
Well, this is the thing, is that that's kind of... The direction of my music at the moment is just kind of what's really true to me, and lyrically and also kind of how it's produced, and I just really want to make timeless music.
Great. I love that. So what is the first track that she's going to curate Jagga Jungle today? So tell me, what is the first track you're going to play for us today?
Well, nothing to do with being kind of real and raw. obviously, your show, which I absolutely love, is more kind of dance music. So I picked dance music that really got me into the DJ side of things and has also influenced my music in some ways. So the first track we're going to play is Eats Everything, Let's Go Dancing. There's a awful club, or the best club, depending... depends on what you think, called Bunker, and there's Bunker Mondays in Bristol at uni.
Yeah.
And I remember going to this club one night or on a Monday, and there were like 3 different rooms, and in one of the smaller rooms this DJ was playing this song, and I was like, I think it was the first time that I've been like, I have to find out what that song is.
Yeah.
And I just couldn't find it anywhere. I couldn't find out who the DJ was. Like,
they didn't have Shazam back then.
Yeah. And I was so desperate to know who this was. And this is the first time that I remember just being absolutely desperate to find out who a track was by, just because it just made me want to dance.
Just
fell in love with it. And then I guess a few months later, I kind of heard it somewhere else. And I was, Eats Everything, Let's Go Dancing.
Oh my gosh. Okay, let's put it on.
Let's go dancing. I wanna go dancing with you all night dancing. Let's go dancing. I wanna go dancing with you all night dancing.
Days of David Guetta, when he was really, really big, Calvin Harris with his first tunes.
I was listening to that first album, just before Christmas. And it's so good, isn't it?
Yeah, I love it. I mean, I got into house music. I was in Australia.
and it was Kygo was doing all these covers, and it was something, it was like very organic house music, and I think coming from a rock background with my dad and stuff, it had to be something quite melodic. And then that's why I was like, oh, I'm going to do tropical house music. You know when you have that ding?
Yeah.
And it's all feel good and happy, and it suited the personality. And that's kind of like where I went with that.
Yeah.
A little bit like with you and pop music, you always kind of knew. You were like, yeah, that's it.
Yeah, I mean, I grew up on kind of Carole King and Whitney Houston, Gabrielle, Alicia Keys, U2, Meatloaf. That was my dad's
like.
We used to drive down to Bournemouth with like Meatloaf album as a whole family singing.
Oh, I love that. That was cooler than me. We had Beach Boys and the Monkees.
Okay.
But my dad's really old, so. So what have you got coming up?
Well, I've got a whole load of DJ gigs, which is really exciting. Got some DJ and sax gigs too, which is, I do this kind of set where I'll DJ and play sax at the same time.
Oh, please play sax with me one time.
Yeah, definitely, we'll have to do it.
I'm always looking for sax players all the time, and they're always asking for women. And we might be starting this brunch on Sundays at a little restaurant called Babbo. So
cool.
It's something where we would need a sax player.
I'm in.
Yeah, you're
I'm in?
You good? Okay, cool, we've got this down.
I mean, it's recorded on tape, so.
There you go, the whole world can hear it now. We've got to set it in stone and make it happen. Is there a particular place in London where you love to play?
I love just playing a mix of places and playing to different crowds. And I think I get quite nervous before like DJing for new gigs or.
I do too. Party.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, no matter how many I play, and you always get nervous the new one because you never know how the crowd are going to react and what exactly you should play. There's no kind of formula to DJing, is there?
No, and I feel like it's more about the people than the venue. I mean, I've had some of the best gigs and some of the worst gigs in the same places. So it's just, you never know. It might be the time of the month, you know, the end of the pay week, stuff like that. But it's all about taking them on a journey from the beginning to the end. It's like taking it to a crescendo. And that's one thing that, I mean, my agency always told me, take them on a journey.
Yeah, sure.
And that's what I always try and create in Jagged Jungle as well.
Yeah.
Especially with the music that you're curating today.
I've got a number of tracks that I'm really, really excited about. I'm finding the best way to release them and speak to a manager at the moment and a couple of labels and just kind of, I would rather not do it totally, totally independently. But I've been really excited that having put out the four singles so far independently, it's been a really good experience for me to do all the PR myself and to get all the festival bookings last year and all of that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and you learn about it as well, which you don't really know when you've got a label. You're like, what are they doing with it? You've got complete control over it.
Yeah, that's been amazing because, I mean, originally when I put out my debut single Parallel, I did think that I wanted to get PR on board. Then I kind of found out how expensive PR are, and I just thought I needed something to compare it to. So I've ended up doing my PR to date myself. But at least now I know if I do get PR on board, what I would kind of want from them. And it's been great. I've got kind of like coverage from NME and Line of Best Fit and Clash Magazine. So it's been amazing.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's exciting. But to move forward, I would love to build a little team around myself before I kind of put out more music. But the music that's coming, I'm really, really excited about.
That's
it's very real, so.
So how many tracks have you put out? I think four, right?
Four singles,
Four singles complete. Okay, so that's enough to be able to build a good fan base.
Yeah, for sure.
The growth you must see on your Spotify for this year growing slowly, bit by bit.
Yeah.
Which is good. You just got to keep putting them out there and then seeing what sticks.
Exactly. So yeah, no, it's exciting. It's a good time. But to go on to our next track.
Yes.
So this is how I kind of had my first taste of the music
industry. Oh, okay.
So imagine me, like 2016, go to Ibiza for the first time. So you know the excitement of like the first time you go to Ibiza.
I do know that
feeling.
Actually, I was 16.
No.
I was 16 and my parents were like, where do you want to go? I was like, I want to go to Ibiza with two of my friends. So we all went, and you're allowed to party out there if you're with your parents.
So you were partying with your parents?
So I was partying with my parents. I think I had like a margarita. It wasn't like, you know, proper Ibiza style. It was just me having a few drinks, went to a few clubs, and it's the whole idea of going to Ibiza.
Okay, cool.
And then we went out there this year and we played out there for Ocean Beach Club.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I've actually only been once. I'm desperate to go back.
Okay.
But I went out with my best friend and we just had like the best time.
Okay.
Went to all the super clubs and it was just like absolutely amazing. And we were in Space one night.
Okay.
Which is now closed or moved.
I wouldn't know.
Anyway, we're in space, and it has a very, for anyone that's been, it has a very, very cool format. There's a lot of different rooms, and there's an upstairs, and there's this area upstairs where you can kind of create your own DJ mix in a group.
What?
Yeah, it was cool. Like, you can hit, I mean, this, I can't quite remember, but you can hit these kind of pads, but you're in a group, and you can all hear the music as it comes through.
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah, so it's quite cool. So it's really, it was like quite an interactive kind of club. And we ended up meeting these producers and a DJ, and we, my friends and I, we went up to them because we thought it was funny. There were like 10 of them wearing all black, and we made some sort of joke about them being the Men in Black or something like something awful like that. Yeah. Ended up chatting to them, got invited to their show the next day.
Yeah.
It turned out that the guy was called Nathan Barato and was playing in one of the massive clubs the next night.
Oh wow!
Yeah, so we went down to that. I ended up staying in touch with Nathan Barato and
fellow Canadian.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I was trying to find my way into the industry, and obviously my lane was pop, but I just said to him, can I send you some top lines and try and make a track, basically. So I didn't know how to record my own vocals at the time, but got myself down to the Roundhouse, who have a really cool creative program for like 16 to 25 year olds that means you can kind of use studios for like £2 an hour or something.
Oh, amazing.
So
yeah.
Tried to record over some like instrumental he sent me.
Yeah.
It was awful, like awful. Sent it over to him, heard nothing back. Then came back from this kind of music day that I'd been at like a couple of weeks later, and literally recorded this a cappella idea into my iPhone in my kitchen. So it was like a natural reverb, and I literally just recorded this idea and sent it over to him. And literally, I think within like 48 hours, he came back being like, cool. Jamie Jones, who obviously runs Hot Creations, loves it. We've cut it. It's coming out.
Like, oh my God, that quick.
Yeah, it was mad.
And like, from your phone?
From my phone. And I was like, okay, cool. So I'll get in the studio, re-record it. He was like, no, it's cool. We like it. So that is from an iPhone recording.
Stop.
I still think that Apple should use that as an advert.
That's brilliant. And this is a song we're about to drop.
And this is a song we're about to drop.
Oh my God, I'm so excited to hear it. Is Jamie Jones on the...
No,
his name on it?
He's not part of the record, but it came off Hot Creations,
which
is Jamie Jones' label.
Yeah.
So yeah,
that's
pretty
exciting.
This was
your first single release through
and I mean, Pete Tong was supporting it on Radio 1, and it was in the top, 40 techno charts for 10 plus weeks. And
wow.
Yeah, it was mad. So
that's mental.
Yeah.
Okay, let's play it. I'm so excited to hear it.
So this is Nathan Barato featuring Sasha Brown, Talk On.
Now let's talk about your songwriting.
Yeah. So, I mean, as I mentioned to you, I really got into... I've always kind of written a little bit when I was kind of growing up, and I actually came across a song that I wrote in year six.
Yeah.
You know, kind of after the 11 plus, they don't know what to do with you for like 4 months before you go on to secondary school.
Yeah.
So they made us kind of write letters and... I know, whatever they did, and one of the tasks was to write a song.
Yeah.
And so I wrote the song, which I will not be singing you now, but honestly, I might actually use it for something because I really like it.
It's so true though, you write it on these little post-its and then you leave them all around the house. Yeah. My mum collects them, that's what I did, and then they put them in envelopes and just keep them safe, and then you go back to it and you go, God, that's because some good stuff I wrote back then. Yeah, it's so brilliant. So
you're like, why can't I be as good as now that I was at 12?
I mean, yeah, you hit writer's block quite a lot. I think with life being an adult, lots of things get in the way, and then you kind of go into the studio and try and force ideas out, and sometimes they just don't happen.
I think what happened is then I was writing a little bit, went to uni, started working with DJ Bungie, started writing a lot because there felt like a real purpose for the first time for it.
Yeah.
Because obviously I was hitting the studio every week. And then when I came back to London, I was getting studio sessions. That's when I got really, really into writing.
Yeah.
And actually got really excited by writing. So I'm also co-writing with a number of other artists at the moment. I've had a cut with Fabiche, who probably does the kind of music you'd like, actually.
Ah, I know Fabiche. Yeah.
So I had a cut on the track Naked Lines, which I co-wrote with them.
Yeah.
And I just absolutely love writing. And then... that's obviously kind of fed into myself, and I write my own things and co-write my own kind of tracks. And
it's incredible.
Yeah, I love it. I like the way words sound and finding different, like the metaphors and different ways of saying things. Mm-hmm. And I'm sounding so inarticulate at the moment talking about songwriting.
Always use the thesaurus. There's an app you can get called Writer.
Yeah.
And it's a WRITR. Oh no, you put in a word and it gives you all the rhymes to it.
Okay, I'm a fan of rhymezone.com. Yeah. Don't tell anyone.
Very. But it's handy though, isn't it? Sometimes you want to go more in depth than using the and in the tracks.
That's when I got. So basically, I think the kind of break for me in terms of, was when I got into the studio with a guy called Joe Kearns and Jason Elliott. And Joe Kearns works a lot with Ellie Goulding. He does like all her vocals, and I think they've done some tracks together.
Wow.
And the first session, he actually cancelled me. And he was like, sorry, I don't like to cancel last minute, but Ellie's coming to the studio. And I was like, okay, fair enough.
Wow.
And so I got into the session with him. And we wrote the song Parallel and Model Behaviour, and they went on to be my first two singles.
Ah.
So that was really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the next track we're going to play is the remix of my debut single Parallel.
Okay.
Yeah, and the original went on to be number one on Chill Pop Hits on Spotify, which was like kind of absolutely massive for me. There was kind of like Charlie XCX and Justin Timberlake on that playlist, and it kind of rose to number one, which is, I think, from what I understand, partly through the creation of Spotify and also partly through kind of algorithms. So yeah, that was really, really cool.
It's amazing when that happens to Spotify.
Yeah. And I got my first Kiss radio play from Justin Wilkes on this track, which was really, really cool. And he's gone on to be like a supporter of my music. And
was this the remix?
So
this was the original.
This was the original, but the Justin Wilkes, obviously he does Friday night kind of dance show, so he played the remix on his Kiss radio show, which is what we're going to play now.
Okay, awesome. And who did the remix?
Charlie Lane.
Charlie Lane.
Amazing.
Yeah. He's very good. I've played some of his tracks on Jagged Jungle before.
Yeah, he's amazing. Yeah. He's had support from kind of Diplo and Capital Radio.
How did you get BBC Charlie Lane Radio on one. It?
Justin Wilkes.
Really?
Yeah, he said to me, I met Justin at an event.
Yeah.
And he said, actually, okay, so funnily enough, to backtrack a little bit, I also do a show on Hoxton Radio, as you know. And I got into radio presenting at uni and worked for Hot Radio whilst I was at uni and BBC introducing, and just did a couple of shows like helping them out and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And so when I came back to London, I got a show on Hoxton Radio, which I absolutely love, and it allows me to interview other artists and just people from the music industry, and I love it. It's great. But because of that, I was going to loads of radio events. And I ended up applying for Kiss Chosen Ones. I think I was literally shopping in Westfield and saw that it was going on. I was like, I got to apply. So I went in and, I mean, did a little audition kind of thing. And they said, okay, do you have anything you want to ask us? And so I said, can I interview you? Because I was interviewing one of the presenters for the show.
I see, clever.
So so they were like, yeah, go on. And I said, who have you had your worst kiss with? And I won't reveal who it was, but one of the presenters goes, actually, it was someone from The Office. Then he was like, oh
my gosh.
Anyway, I ended up getting through that. So Swazi, and I think I pronounced her name right, Swazi ended up winning it.
Okay.
And she's doing some stuff with like JD at the moment, and she's smashing it.
Swazi.
Swazi Mikaeli, she's smashing it.
I've never heard of her.
Yeah, well, you will. She won it.
Yeah.
And
was this recently? Was this last year?
Yeah, this was last year or so.
Okay.
But yeah, she's smashing it. So yeah, so basically through that I end up meeting Pandora, who obviously did Kiss Radio, and I think she's doing Capital now. I think so.
Okay.
Anyway, so through that I met Justin Wilkes, and now I totally lost my place. I love that. We've gone through everything.
Everything, yeah. And then Charlie Lane did the remix.
Right.
Yeah.
So Justin Wilkes said, I think Charlie Lane would do a great remix on this. So I emailed Charlie Lane being like, Justin Wilkes thinks you'd do a great remix on this. And he was like, oh, that's nice. Like, that was nice of him to like recommend me, and did a remix for me. And that's he's gone on to do the remixes for two of the other singles.
Did he?
Yeah.
Wow.
Model Behaviour and Boom Boom, She Got
You need to sing on one of his tracks, because he's doing original stuff as well, isn't he?
I think, yeah, I think he just started that. So, But he's smashing it. He's really cool.
How old is he?
I have no idea. He lives out in, like,
Spain?
In Spain. He's in space. No, I think he lives in, like, Cornwall or Wales or something.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
A lot of DJs do, though. I feel like London's a bit too hustle and bustle, you know, you have to keep working and stuff like that to keep up with everything. Wow, that's so cool, man. I didn't know that. You've brought so much to the show already. I'm so happy you are curating it.
No, thank you so much. I'm loving it. So anyway, so this next track that we're going to play is Parallel Charlie Lane remix. Boom. Let's do it.
Make it hard, you're not ready for love. In the fast lane, traffic's slow, why don't we give it up? And oh my god, it's such a mess. I keep holding on, but I can't forget. Play pretend to make it better by your side. And oh my god, we're running in parallel. And I can't feel you. Yeah, we're running in parallel. Side by side, don't realize. We're running in parallel. Running in parallel. Yeah, we're running in parallel. Don't be alive, cause we're running in parallel. no use. I'm not ready for love, no. But these excuses, tell me, are we doing it for us? And oh my God, it's such a mess. I keep holding on, but I can't forget. They pretend to make it better by your side. And oh my God, we're running in parallel. And I can't feel you. Yeah, we're running in parallel. Stop our thoughts, don't realize. We're running in parallel. Yeah, we're running in parallel. Stop our thoughts, don't realize. Cause we're running in parallel.
You're listening to Jaylee, and we have Sasha Brown with us today.
Hey, hey.
Okay, so let's talk about what you have up and coming. I know you did a few festivals in 2018. How did that go?
Oh, I loved it. Like, there's nothing beats the festival experience.
It's so true.
It's just, it was amazing. I played a number, I did a lot of live sets, which was amazing. So I played Citadel,
yep.
Which was like an absolute kind of dream.
Yeah.
Kind of truth me. Camel Fat were on stage the day before at Lovebox.
Yeah.
And then I was like watching them, and then I was on the Corona stage the next day playing Citadel, and it was like amazing.
So surreal, isn't it?
Yeah.
How did you get into that? How did you get into the festivals for you, the up-and-coming artists?
Oh, my God. So I don't have a booking agent at the moment. So it was just literally a case of finding who was the booker, like, from the whoever was booking the acts for the stages. And, like, let me play.
Did you get a good fan base after you played?
Yeah, it's cool. I mean, obviously, festivals, and it'd be cool if your name was kind of next to you on stage.
That
might help for next time.
And it helps with the posters as well. I mean, so you can be like, yeah, dude, I played at Citadel. That's huge.
No, so it was amazing. And then I played Wilderness Festival, which was super, super cool. And I was driven around on one of those buggies.
Oh, lovely.
Like,
yeah.
Great.
Where is Wilderness held?
Oh, my God, I don't know. I just got on the train and then got a taxi.
You didn't even know where.
No idea.
And
no
how
idea.
Many? And how many tracks did you play while you were on stage? When you were there? Was it like a 90-minute
so
set?
So when I was singing at Citadel, I had a half-hour slot.
Okay.
Maybe kind of 30 to 45 minutes,
okay.
give or take. And played some saxophone stage, sang my songs, had my pianist David Franklin there.
Oh, incredible.
So yeah, it was great. It was really, really cool.
What an experience.
Yeah.
And what was one of your favourite tracks that you played?
Mm-hmm. I think Boom Boom She Got That, which is my latest single,
yeah.
got like a really good response.
There you go.
It's just that kind of like empowerment track, and yeah, it's cool.
She, Sasha Brown, invited me to this cycle called Boom Boom Cycle, because the song was called Boom Boom. It was very empowering when we were in
the past. Yeah, it makes you feel like, I got it.
Yeah, it was great. And that was the remix she played, wasn't it?
I think she played both of them in the class.
Did she?
I was like, play them both.
Oh my gosh.
But yeah, that was cool. Basically what happened is, which I was going to go on to later when we chatted about them, but we'll just go on now. But there was these dancers set up the kind of hashtag Boom Boom Challenge.
Yeah.
And dancers around the world kind of choreographing dances to my track, which was just like insane. So if you go to my Instagram, it's like guys from Ukraine and Oregon, and then there's Pineapple Studios in London, this incredible choreographer called Christina, who's doing loads of stuff for BBC at the moment, and they all just did these choreographies to my track, and then they would send me the videos, or with the Pineapple Studios, or with Christina, I actually went in and kind of like try to do the dance with them and then let them film it.
Oh, you're smashing it. So yeah. Have you danced before? Was that first time?
Yeah, I used to dance a lot of like street dance. I literally every Saturday was like dance class.
Oh, which theatre school did you go to?
I did Sylvia Young for a bit, just Saturday school. And then I started doing Zoo Nation.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, so you know that Into the Woods.
I remember Zoo Nation. I had a few friends there and there was another one called Zoo Nation and...
Something Boys or something.
Bird Gang.
Bird Gang, yeah.
It's Bird Gang. And then there was another one as well, but I can't quite remember that. This is going back to when I was like 17, 18.
Yeah, yeah.
In Pineapple Studios and it was always cool, wasn't it, back then?
Yeah.
It's so funny. Crossing paths.
Yeah.
And how's Hoxton going for you?
Good, I love it. I mean, I do the feel-good show.
Do you?
And I chat about music and places to go and where you should be, what gigs you should be going to and all that kind of stuff. And it's given me the kind of opportunity to meet and interview upcoming artists and established artists. Mm-hmm. So I've interviewed kind of Rudimental and Clean Bandit and Sophie Tucker, who I absolutely love.
Did you interview her?
I think they're amazing.
Yeah.
And then I saw them live at Coco and they just smashed it.
Did they?
There's so much energy.
So they came on Hoxton Radio?
So I went to Coco, pre-recorded the show and then went back to the show. Yeah,
Are they Australian?
They're from New York, I think.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
What would you say was your dream festival that you'd love to play?
Citadel was definitely a dream as like an upcoming artist, and I guess the next kind of set for me, I guess, would be getting a more, not necessarily headline slot there, but a kind of bigger slot there.
BBC Introducing, would you do?
BBC Introducing would be insane. Yeah. That'd be great.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so many festivals, and I literally have like a list of my dream ones, and now I just have my blank.
Well, I'll help you. I think I've got a friend who I'm working with at the moment called Kai Soans, and he sings with Lost Frequencies.
Cool, I love Lost Frequencies.
And he's smashing it at the moment. Anyway, Lost Frequencies gave him a call and was like, we need to do this track live. Would you like to come on tour with us? And he was like, yeah, right, I've got a few weeks off. And so he jumped on tour with them and did Tomorrowland.
Oh, mad, that'd be cool.
And the video content that he puts up is just incredible. His vocal. So and I brought him to the studio. I was like, I'd love to do a studio session with you. So he came in and like bashed out this session super, super quick. And his vocal was insane.
Yeah.
And I think we need to do a session like
that. We need to do a session like that.
It would be incredible. And just, just write something incredible.
Yeah, I would love that.
So, so what is your next song?
So going with this, well, not really tropical vibes, but that sort of, dance vibe. My next track is This Girl by Coons.
That is my go-to track to get the party started.
Yeah, it's an absolute go-to. I included it in, so I had a live set when I was singing at El Dorado, and then later in the night, Sister Sledge played, and then I had a DJ set and saxophone set right after that.
Okay.
So the atmosphere was insane. Yeah, and so I actually played sax over the sax part and then kind of canoodled over it kind of thing.
I've got a tribal vocal mix that I dropped into that track that is really good to play live.
Okay.
So I'll have to send that to you because it really helps the track move along and people don't expect it.
Yeah.
It's got that... You know that one?
Cool.
That
I don't
know what it is. It's like a chant, but it just works so well with the track. Yeah. So you definitely 100% have to play that out.
Well, I just had the El Dorado was just such a fun set because I was playing saxophone in some of the tracks, DJing at the same time. Yeah. People like weren't expecting it.
Yeah.
It was just absolutely wicked.
They were like, this girl does everything. No, what can't she do? She sings, she DJs, she plays sax.
Just need to start dancing around the decks now, don't I?
There you go.
Just, dance routine.
Yeah, break dance, get your Zoo Nation skills back out, wham bam.
Exactly. But no, that was a great gig because I was dropping just like literally like Armin van Helden and then like Eminem.
Oh.
And it was just a really like I properly kind of prepared that set.
Yeah.
And it was just a lot of fun to do.
Oh my gosh. Oh, do you have any footage of that?
I mean like phone footage. I wish it was filmed properly. Had to get done this year.
Okay, definitely this year. Yeah. Okay, so here it is. This is the fourth track.
This is our fourth track.
Mm. And this is Kung's This Girl.
Don't need money.
You played quite a lot when you did festivals.
Yeah.
And you're a woman of many talents. You've got your sax, you've got your voice, you've got your dancing, and you're a DJ. What got you into DJing? Who taught you, and what inspired you to start DJing?
So I never even thought about DJing. It wasn't something, like growing up, I was just like, I'm going to be a singer-songwriter, and that obviously is kind of the main thing I do. But what happened is I went to Bristol Uni, and I was never kind of desperate to go to uni, but it was the kind of thing where my parents like, go to uni and then you can do whatever you want.
What did you study?
I studied drama at Bristol.
Okay.
Because I couldn't stand the idea of like doing English or philosophy and
economics and
no, it wasn't that. I loved English and philosophy. It was just like having 3-4 hours of lectures a week. I was like a little geek and I actually wanted those contact hours. I like to like ask questions. I like to feel like I'm kind of part of something. So by doing drama, which was kind of the study of kind of film and theatre, and then also English and essay writing and writing about film and stuff, but it just gave me those contact hours and kind of to be part of like that kind of community.
Would you do it again if you...
I don't know. I kind of wish I'd gone to music school or maybe just gone straight into music. Having said that, you know, a lot of things might not have happened that have now happened because everyone has their own journeys kind of thing. I chose Bristol because, well, the drama course is kind of the best there.
Yep.
And also, but predominantly because it's a big city and music is at the forefront.
Yep.
So I was like excited about that. So I was like going around the Freshers Fair. I always say I went in with 10 friends, came out by myself, and I went in and I went to every single store. So I ended up signing up for a ton of things. I was a singer in the big band, so we did a tour around Croatia, which was insane.
Yeah.
And this guy came up to me in the Freshers Fair as part of the radio, Burst Radio, and he was like, "Oh, you're a fresher, can I interview you?" And I was like, "Okay." And he was like, "How's Freshers?" Whatever. It's like literally my first time on radio. I applied for a show, got a show on Burst Radio, ended up doing it for 3 years, was head of music in my last year, which really got me into different kind of genres of music. So before that, I have to admit, I've been a Capital Radio girl kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like just literally like
Capital
the top
straight.
40.
Yeah.
And Bristol really got me into different kind of music and dance music and that sort of stuff. And yeah, as I said before, whilst I was at uni, I started working part radio for 6 months. Was like a
intern?
Yeah, and I was working on the breakfast show, which was a lot of fun.
Where, in Bristol? In Bristol Heart.
Yeah, Bristol Heart Radio.
Oh, incredible.
And I did some projects for BBC Introducing. They asked me to go and find some bands and interview them, put together the interview. So I was doing like kind of cool stuff when I was there. And I, at uni, at that point, I did think I should be getting into DJing, but I just didn't. I just didn't do it, kind of thing. Finished uni, came back to London, started Hoxton Radio, started getting offered some DJ gigs because people obviously assume you're a DJ if you're a radio DJ. And I just thought it's absolutely mad that I'm not. So I did some kind of fashion show parties, and then as the bookings were coming in more, I was like, I need to feel like properly confident with this. So I ended up doing a course at Point Blank, like a part-time course. So it was like 3 months, two nights a week. And yeah, I mean, I kind of knew, I knew how to DJ by this point, but it didn't like really know the little like tricks of the trade. So did this course and came out and just started getting kind of a ton of bookings, which was amazing.
Yeah, you're smashing it.
Yeah, I mean, it, firstly, I absolutely love it. Second, it keeps me in the game and I know new music that's coming out the whole time. And then thirdly, it allows me to spend my days going to studio because I'm DJing at night.
There you go. How old were you when you started playing sax?
Oh my God, I started playing at eight.
Eight.
And I only chose a saxophone. I got asked this in a meeting the other day. They were like, why did you choose to play the saxophone? And I was like, because they said I couldn't and no one else did at the time. They were like, here's a clarinet, you won't be able to blow into the saxophone. And I was like, yes I will, give me the gold shiny one.
Good, and you did it.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. And I'm excited because we've got two tracks left.
We've got two tracks left.
Okay, so what is this one?
All right, so to give you a little bit of background, last summer I went to Nashville for the first time, which is like the music city, and wrote loads of music out there. I wrote with a guy called Jamie Liddell, who's like insane. He's co-written Hailee Steinfeld's, one of her new singles, with Alesso and Florida Georgia Line. Let me go. And yeah, it was insane to get in a session with him. And at the same time, and then we went to New York after, and I got in touch with these guys, Black Caviar. And I was like, desperate sort of session. It hasn't happened, but I'm hoping next time I go to New York, it will. Because I mean, this is like so different to kind of pop music I love, but this is why I also love being a songwriter, because it means that I can
write music that you don't have to
perform. That's not me. And I became obsessed with this track. This is Black Caviar, Coco.
She keep it spicy like Obey. Got me so high I feel holy. We on that green guacamole. And I've been fucked up like the whole day. Man, we can shut it down. She imported, man, she came from out of town. Show me how you do. Pass me the bowl, got the milk and the spoon. She got the Cocoa Puffs. 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 And I wanna eat it up. Got the milk and the spoon. She got the Cocoa Puffs. She got the Cocoa Puffs. And I wanna eat it up. She got the Cocoa Puffs. She got the Cocoa Puffs. She got the Cocoa Puffs. She wanna pack it a hat. Pack it a hat. She got a Tonka truck. Pack it a hat. She wanna pack it a hat. Pack it a hat. She got a Tonka truck.
So if you're listening Black Caviar, you've got to get Sasha Brown in, and you can also check out her Hoxton Radio show on...
on www.hoxtonradio.com.
And what day do you play?
I mean, Mondays 12 to 2, but then it plays throughout the weekend.
And they can stream it as well.
Yeah, they can stream it.
Cool.
Do it.
tweet her, and then she can ask. You can ask her questions before she goes on the show, and she can answer them.
Yeah, I might well, I've do actually that. Started a hashtag human jukebox for 20 minutes of the show, so people can like message in and let me know what they want me to play. And I love it. There's so much hustle. There's loads of independent artists like play my new track.
Really?
Yeah, and I do it because it's 20 minutes off. I play what people want to hear.
And you can just plug in your phone and go.
Yeah. I mean, most of the stuff comes off through the system, but obviously for the requests that come in for that human jukebox kind of 20 minutes.
Because I met you when I came in to Hoxton Radio to talk about probably Head Candy with Barney Banks.
Yeah.
And that was, when was that? 3-4 months ago?
Yeah.
Yeah, mental.
That's fun.
It was really
fun. Well, I was there uploading my show, just like eavesdropping on yours.
And I remember, because I remember you did a show with him recently, and he was, I just met this really cool DJ. And I was like, oh, cool. And she's an amazing singer.
He was doing a show, and I was singing at St. Pancras.
Yes, that was it.
Yeah, the train station.
Oh my gosh.
That was cool. That was last Christmas.
Was it?
Yeah.
God.
It was like a massive tree behind us, and then I was singing in front of it. It was cool.
Time flies.
I literally don't know where the time goes. It's mad.
Did you sing your new single?
Did I sing it?
What was it written then? A year ago?
No.
When did you create Boom Boom?
That would have been, I'm just trying to think when I put it out. I put it out in July 2018.
Okay.
So
summer track.
Yeah, it was a summer track. So I think I wrote it a couple of months before, maybe 3 months before.
Wow. And then music video.
The music video, I didn't know if I wanted to make a music video for it. I had a very, very strong vision in my head, and I couldn't quite find the right people to make it. Mm-hmm. And obviously, as an independent artist, it's hard to find funds and all that sort of stuff. But I was in touch with a guy called Sam Hilton, who filmed a little piece for me of a launch party that I had for my single Model Behaviour, my second single. And we kind of stayed in touch, and then we kind of just fell out of touch because there's nothing kind of imminent that we wanted to work on together. And then randomly, I literally messaged him and I was like, hey, how's it going? Just kind of catch up, see what he was up to. And he was like, that is so weird. I was literally about to message you to see what you're up to at the moment. He said, I've started working for a production company. He started working for a production company, and they really liked my new single, Boom Boom. She got that, and they wanted to make a music video for it.
Yeah.
So I went for a meeting with them, and he sits down with this guy, Cal, and we chat about the music video and the concepts, and they explain why they wanted why they were kind of drawn to it, and their ideas for the visuals. And then I said, oh, kind of, Cal, how did you get into this? And he was like, oh, I make YouTube videos. I was like, oh, cool, like, can I check it out? What is it? Like, does it do very well? He's like, yeah, it's good. I'm called Cal Freezy. Anyway, I look him up. He's got like 3 million subscribers.
Oh my gosh.
And he does all these kind of cool football videos. So he's at a production company called Fat Tape Productions. Mm-hmm. And they want to create a music video as part of their
content.
And they, luckily for me, wanted to do it with Boom Boom. She got that. So
that's incredible.
Yeah.
So I have seen it. It's you're on like an estate, aren't you?
So we're in Barbican.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. So I mean, it wasn't just shot there. Little bits were shot all around London.
Yeah.
And the traffic lights, which everyone's like obsessing over, was, I don't even remember where. And then everyone keeps asking me, and Sam, who obviously found the locations, is like, don't tell them.
Really?
It's like a statue of traffic lights. Then he's done stuff in the After Effects to make it like a million.
Oh my gosh, incredible.
Yeah. So it's really, really cool. So anyway, we
talented boys. How long did it take you all together to like?
I think we had like 3 days of filming, but it was all in different locations. Yeah. So I mean, it was kind of half days here and there.
And the post-production?
You'd have to ask that.
Really?
Yeah, I think that took a while.
Oh gosh. I mean, if that's like tracks though, I'm on a track at the moment. I think we're like version 17.
Oh, mad. But the thing is, what Sam and Cal really wanted is they were really excited about doing the visual effects afterwards in post.
Yeah.
So it was always going to take them a while because that's always what they want to do. So there's like buildings moving and traffic lights growing and like crazy things happening, like trippy things. So.
And it kind of, when did it come out? It came out 4 months after the single.
Yeah,
it came out.
Yeah, it came out a few months after.
Yeah.
That's the life of an independent artist.
It is. I mean, we're not like Beyonce releasing track and music video per track. She's crazy with that.
She's, I mean, super, super mega talented and has an incredible team around her.
It's Beyonce, the queen. So, we are going to be playing Boom Boom, the remix.
Yeah.
Super excited.
So Charlie Lane again is on this remix.
Okay, yeah.
The music video actually is on BT Music Channel at the moment, which is like unreal to have my video. It's on Fresh Vines next to like Nile Rodgers and Grimes and AJ Tracy. And I was just saying my name on that was really, really cool.
Especially you need to work with Nile Rodgers, one of the best writers in the world.
Nile Rodgers, if you're listening right now. I think you're going to like this one. It's got a little bit of a
when I listened to it, I was like, okay, this is something I would create. Like, this is my vibe. That's what inspired me to get you on the show.
Cool.
Was this record. Because when I heard it, I was like, oh my gosh. My ears pricked up and it was just brilliant. And it had... It's just, yeah, it's perfect. It's perfect for Jagger Jungle. And I think it suits your style. And I'm so excited to play it as the last record on Jagger Jungle.
Thank you so,
so
much.
So thank you so much for coming on the show. I hope to have you back next year.
Oh, yeah.
We can see how you've progressed over the year. And I hope you have an incredible 2019.
Thank you. And in the meantime, I'm sure there'll be some gigs that we're doing together.
We will let you all know when that is on social media.
Cool.
Look at what you look in the manner. My light shine bright on her. Don't wanna look, but you gotta, yeah, you, yeah, you. It steals your eyes, you're the honor. Something she got in her manner. But you just see what you want her. Don't you ever doubt her. There's something about her. Don't you ever doubt her. She got it. Stretches like a tiger. Walking in the vibe.
Find me on Instagram at Sasha Jade Brown and Twitter, The Sasha Brown.
Sasha Brown, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you here. Thank you so
much. Thank you so much. That was so much fun.
Sounds of Jay Lee.